Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Michelle Marchant Johnson, and you are here live with us, woohoo, for the live final event called Let's Talk About Men. We've been hearing from men, and now we're going to talk about men. And I have with me tonight my lovely and talented guest, and that's my good friend and colleague, Wendy Newman. Welcome, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Michelle.
And of course, for those of you that have been on the live events so far, you know Kyle, who's doing working wonders, working magic in the background, making all the technology work, making sure we get recorded, making sure the replay gets out, answering your technology questions, and all around general good guy. Welcome, Kyle.
Thanks, Michelle. And on that note, I can give my little quick technical spiel and let you guys dive in. So.
Sounds good.
Excuse me. So for anybody that hasn't been on the live event before, a few quick things to pay attention to. Down in the, if you are using your web browser and click the Zoom link, down at the bottom of the Zoom icon, window, you'll see there's two buttons. One is for a Q&A and one is for a chat. A couple big differences. If you would like to submit a potential question for maybe Wendy or Michelle to entertain during the live event, you'll want to submit that via the Q&A. You can submit that, it's completely private. Only Michelle and Wendy and myself will see those questions, and you do actually have an option to also submit as anonymous. If you wanted to submit a question but didn't want to put your name. If you have any sort of tech-related issues whatsoever that I can help you out with, please use the chat function for that. The big difference between the two is if you submit something via chat, that will get broadcast to all of the attendees. So we don't want anybody putting any personal questions in there and having everybody see it. So quick recap, Q&A button. Those are for questions for Wendy, Michelle, chat function. That's any questions you may have for me on any tech related issues. And that's all I got. I'll kick it back to you, Michelle.
Thanks so much, Kyle. And just a couple of quick reminders on your questions. If you want to submit a question for Wendy and I to entertain at the end of our presentation, make sure your question is clear and concise, because we're much more likely to choose your question if it's clear and concise rather than kind of an overall story or scenario. If you have a story or scenario that you want to talk to us about, you probably want to get the VIP package and get a session with me or book a session with Wendy or something like that. And for those of you whose questions are chosen, you will get in the mail my VIP card deck, Ready for the Right Guy card deck, which is custom, beautiful custom artwork that I had done with questions to help you move forward in your love life on the back. And so if we choose your question at the end, just make sure you email me with your name and let me know which question was yours. And send me your mailing address, and I will send this to you no matter where you are in the world. You just have to allow time for it to get there. So before I jump right in and introduce Wendy officially, I just have a few little things to go over to share, a couple of things that we'll go over tonight. So first of all, welcome everyone. We're really thrilled to have you here for tonight's event, and really thrilled to have had you throughout the whole Man Panel series. And I just want to let you know that we've had fabulous feedback. I've heard from so many of you that you've been loving it and enjoying it, and that you've had so much fun participating. And I really appreciate your feedback and your presence and your commitment to have an amazing life and to understand more about men. Because so many people go through their whole lives just being basically unconscious. So you're to be commended for being here. And as I mentioned, I have a wonderful special guest. Wendy and I have done this a few times now, this whole Let's Talk About Men thing. And we always have a really great time together. And our intention is to give you some really valuable information and tools and things to think about that will help you in your interactions and help you to understand more about men. So just to kind of give you an overview of where we're going to be going tonight, and then I'll introduce Wendy, we're going to be talking about some things, some questions that come up, and some things that come up about why men do certain things or don't do certain things that we don't understand. We're going to try to shed some light on that based on our experience in interviewing and talking to men and participating in man panel type events, interviewing men, that sort of thing. So Wendy and I will be shedding some light on that. Then we're going to be taking some Q&A, as was already mentioned. We will take a brief overview of the VIP package at some point in our presentation tonight, because what's going to happen is after this event is over tonight, we're going to be sending out the replay. The replay will be available for a few hours into tomorrow, and then the VIP package will go up by $100. Still a great value, but you should definitely consider getting it now if you're thinking about it, because as soon as our replay expires, the VIP package will go up. So with all of that said, that's just kind of an overview of where we're going to be going tonight, and we're going to try to move quickly so we can get a lot in and have a lot of fun. So I'm going to stop sharing the slides here, and now I'm going to officially welcome and introduce the lovely Wendy Newman. Now, Wendy, I know so many of the women out here have heard you speak and know about you and your book and your work, but we'll read the official blurb, okay?
That's good.
All right. Wendy Newman is a media celebrated author and a dating, sex, and relationship expert who's led hundreds of workshops and revolutionized the lives of over 50,000 women internationally. Her book, 121 First Dates, How to Succeed at Online Dating, Fall in Love, and Live Happily Ever After, really, is part juicy tell-all, part anti-rules dating guide, and it's been optioned for a television series and is getting love from the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, Washington Post, Glamour Self, Huffington Post, Access Hollywood, and more. And from what I understand, Wendy, your book is now in several languages too, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's German and Spanish so far.
That's so great. So Wendy is like a celebrity amongst us, and I always tell her, now remember, you got to remember your old friend Michelle here, you know, when you become all super rich and famous. So hopefully you will.
Yes. The key to my success is being willing to talk about how I have stumbled hard in the dating world.
Well, we have that in common, because I got a lot of bumps and bruises and skinned knees and broken hearts along my path to love too. So
yeah.
Our stories are not exactly the same, but we do have that in common for sure. So what we're going to do tonight is Wendy and I are going to talk about some of the things that come up, some of the questions that come up, some of the things that women ask us frequently about, like why men do certain things or why they don't do certain things. And the feedback we're going to be sharing is feedback that we've received from talking to men, engaging with men, learning about men, and what they have shared with us, just so that we can have a little deeper understanding and a better opportunity to have a healthy, happy relationship with them. And this, when we talk about some of these things, there's not an intention here to excuse men for any bad behavior. But sometimes beneath the surface of what of a behavior or an action or lack of action that we observe, there's something deeper to be understood or something deeper to go that might be going on. And so I think in our opening event, I said that I really like this concept of seek first to understand and then to be understood. And I think that's a really powerful concept when it comes to relationships, no matter what kind of relationship you're having. If you seek to understand more about the other person, their point of view, and their way of navigating the world, chances are you have a better chance of having a better relationship and happier, healthier interactions with them. So that's kind of like our overarching purpose, if you will, of having this event, right? So Wendy, let's talk about some of these things. I think I'd like to pick one to start with. And this is a big one. You and I know that this could be one that we could do an entire entire event on alone, but let's take it right off the top and take it on. It's why do men take things personally when you are disappointed?
Oh, that's such a good one. Well, should I dive right in?
Yeah, dive right in, and then I'll add my two bits at the end.
One of the things that comes with masculinity, and before I tell you the thing that comes with masculinity, you might relate to this yourself when you're in your own work sort of CEO mode, because when you're working, you're in your masculine energy too. So one of the biggest things that comes along with masculinity is accountability. You're masculine, you're driving it, you're accountable. You're accountable for the results. So if a woman is upset, off balance, disappointed, thought the date wasn't great, thought the place that he picked wasn't good, he's gonna take that personally because he's accountable for having that date turn out. Every time you've ever dressed up to go out on a date, you thought it was you were meeting as equals at the place. Not in his mind. In his mind, he's accountable for showing you a good time. So they will take things personally because they feel accountable as being in their masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so, so true. Do you have more you want to add to that, or do you want me to jump in for a minute?
Jump in for a minute. I'm trying not to be the talker that I am.
Wendy and I are both talkers, so we have to watch ourselves. Yes. So I'm just going to share a teeny little story, which I may have shared in the past, that John Gray shared with me several interviews ago. Not on this interview, but several interviews ago. And that was, he said, if you go out with a group of women, let's just say you go to a Mexican restaurant and the beans are really salty. The women around the table can be commenting to each other saying, ooh, these beans are really salty. I don't know if I want to come here again. I'm not enjoying this as much. It's gone downhill. I'm not enjoying this as much as I used to. And the women are going to kind of like bond over that experience, this shared experience. However, he said, if a man had taken a woman to a restaurant, he'd planned that as a date and taken her there, hoping to provide her with a good experience and a good time. And she's saying, ooh, these beans are salty. Gosh, I don't know. This place kind of seems to have gone downhill. The man is like, John described it. He's like, wait, those are my beans. I cooked those beans. Oh, my beans are a failure. She's unhappy. She's disappointed. He's going to take that as though it was his making of the beans. Now, that sounds kind of funny. And when I brought this up, when I brought up this idea with Mike Goldstein on the Man Panel, this series, I gave the example of, we were talking about how it's important to ask for what you want and make clear requests to men. And I was giving the example of the garbage can. Like if I say to my husband, ooh, this garbage can stinks, my husband can walk by and go, I don't really smell it. Well, what I'm really saying is, will you take out the garbage can? But if I don't ask him that directly, he's not necessarily going to hear it that way. And in fact, Mike even said, he might hear it like, what, does the food that I eat stink? Or, you know, what am I doing wrong here? So it's kind of an interesting thing to recognize how sensitive men can be around this and the kind of experience that they want to provide for you. And to remember to look for the positive where you can in your experiences, particularly if they're taking you out or providing you for an experience for you. So if you go to the movie and it's a bum, look for what was good, even if it's the popcorn tasted great, or it was so great to get out of the house after a long week of work, or whatever the case may be. Now, Wendy, I want to tee it back to you because I don't want to be the talker that I am, and I want to give you a chance to add anything else you want to add to that.
So much more to add, right? So, yeah, one of the things that women don't understand is the power we have in our happiness. And not only are they going to try and be accountable for having a good date turn out or making it a nice, pleasant experience where you're not complaining, but the main goal is our happiness. And we complain, and it doesn't even sound like a complaint to us. Like Michelle was talking about the beans, right? That doesn't sound like a complaint. That's just commentary. It's running commentary. One man I know was hunting a wife, and he'd been on about 200 dates because he was really diligently hunting for his wife and was sorting quickly. And he said, I can't believe it. You need to tell your women, stop complaining. Every single woman I go out with, not, I mean, I'm talking every single one complains. Complains about her boss, complains about her day, complains about her best friend, her mother, the beans, whatever, right? And it just drains the life out of them because they get their juice from our excitement. And I'm not saying that we have to fake it. I'm not saying we have to not be authentic and be ourselves. But if you can be paying attention to what's positive, what's happy, and leave the complaining behind, you're going to be in much better shape. You're going to be in better shape for you, not just for him.
Right, right. And here's another little tip. I put this in a recent YouTube video where I was talking about some of the magic phrases that men love to hear. But wherever possible, you can also, if something does go wrong, and you can see, you know, he's tried, but maybe something goes wrong, and maybe the restaurant isn't very good, or maybe the movie isn't very enjoyable, or whatever. He gets lost on the way, whatever. These are magic words for a man to hear. It's not your fault. If you can let him off the hook and just let him be okay, let him know that you're okay, even if something is not perfect, that goes a long way rather than complaining like you're talking about.
Also, you can appreciate his efforts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, thank you for taking me out to the movies. I had such a long week. It's nice to be in that escape mode. And the popcorn, I love popcorn. I could never get enough popcorn. Thank you so much. I know the movie wasn't what we were hoping for, but I really like being with you. You can do it. You can make positive and appreciate efforts without having to lie. Yeah.
Right. Right. My husband has these computers that he gets, and he likes to stay kind of up to date on technology and get new computers, and always gives me his old computers as my secondary computer for my office. And inevitably, as soon as he gives them to me, they were working perfectly, but they break. Right. And yeah. He feels so bad about it because he's tried to provide something nice for me, a backup computer, and then it just goes south every time. This has happened 3 or 4 times, I kid you not. When I said to him, honey, it's not your fault, and that was so nice of you to give me the computer anyway, then he feels so much better because he knows I'm not like, oh boy, you gave me this dud computer, and he's not feeling that like it's his fault.
Right.
Okay, so Wendy,
before you move on, I just love the garbage can example because I've been swimming in this water for so long. I've been studying men and understanding men since 2002. So to me, on this side of it, it's so funny to hear the garbage smells. Like, that's just running commentary. Oh, does it? What is that? Oh, yeah, that's the tuna can from, okay, yeah, that's what that is. Like, there's no action going to be taken from that comment, you know? And then we're just pouty that he didn't take out the garbage can, but he never asked. You were just commenting on smell.
Well, and you know, I love that you're putting the accent on that because it brings up another really important point that we've talked about a little bit earlier in the event. And that is when you're asking for something from a man, when you're making a request, first of all, making sure that it sounds like a request, and then ask clearly for what you want. So as an example, if I say to my husband, honey, will you do the dishes for me? Well, he'll do the dishes for me, but in my mind, doing the dishes also includes wiping off the table, making sure the countertops are all cleaned off, making sure there's no crumbs on the floor, etc. If I don't say, honey, will you please wash the dishes and then please wipe the counters, take the garbage out, and sweep up the floors, then he's going to do the dishes. He'll get the dishes into the dishwasher, done, end of story, that's it.
Yep, he might not even turn it on.
He might not even turn it on because I didn't say that. So we have to be clear in our requests, and we have to make sure they sound like requests rather than demands. And we also sometimes have to let go a little bit of the control of like how they do it. Like once early on in our marriage, my husband said, you can ask me or tell me what to do, but you can't also tell me how to do it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so Wendy, let's take another one. Why do men say they will call and then don't call?
Well, it depends. So it's one of our favorite questions. Why didn't he call? We were dating. What happened? Why didn't he call? So if you went on a date or two and he didn't call because he didn't think he owed it to you because he's not in a relationship with you. So it would be really strange to call someone and say, hey, I'm just giving you a call to tell you I'm not going to call you anymore. And if he said, it's the opposite of when he says, hey, can I call you? And you say, sure. And then there's a dodge call, right? But then there are some women who are like, no, you don't understand. You weren't on the date. It was amazing. And by the way, I think he liked me more than I liked him. It wasn't until I got home and I started thinking about it when I realized how much I like him. And he really liked me. So what happened? Why didn't he call? I have the answer. You ready for the answer? He likes you. He was charmed by you. He was swept off his feet by you, just like you thought. And my guess is either one of two things are happening. And honestly, we don't really know what's happening. It could be a million things. He might've gotten back with his ex. We don't know. But likely it's one of two things. One is he was so taken by who you are. He was like, yeah. And then he got home out of your cuteness, side of your cuteness. And he realized, oh, that conversation where we were talking about children, she doesn't want any and I want six. That's a deal breaker for me. So he might have stumbled over a deal breaker with you, but in your presence, couldn't recognize it as a deal breaker because he was such a yes to who you are that it wasn't until he was reconciling conversations at home where he could see that you weren't quite a fit. And it doesn't occur to men to call you because from their point of view, they think you're off living your life, having a great time, that you're happy and not thinking about him. He doesn't realize we're thinking about him every minute until he calls.
And we're looking at our phone.
That some part of our brain, no matter how busy we are, is thinking about when is he gonna call. That he doesn't realize that multitasking talent that we have that's just waiting for the call and checking for the call while we're doing a million other things. So he thinks, why would I interrupt her perfectly good day, her happy day, to give her bad news that I'm not gonna date her anymore when we're not in a relationship anyway, and I'm not gonna call her to tell her I'm not gonna call her. That's weird. So it's all that. So that could be one thing. He bumped into a deal breaker. The other most likely scenario in these scenarios is that he's not ready for what you're up to. You are a gourmet, delicious, home-cooked meal. And where he is in his life right now is he's available for ice cream, not the whole meal. And he liked you, he thought you were amazing. And he's not at the right spot. Timing is, you know, the third thing. Do you like him? Does he like you? Is the timing right?
Mm-hmm. And in one of these man panel events, one of the men, when we were talking about this, said, yes, if he's really enamored with you and charmed by you and taken by you and the date goes really well and he's giving all these go signals and saying, you know, I'll call you, or he's even maybe talking about future plans or that kind of thing. So in your mind, you're thinking, wow, we've really got something going here. He may have gotten caught up in the moment. And one of the men on the man panel said, sometimes, we don't necessarily mean for this to happen, our mouths write checks that our actions cannot cover. Okay. Right? So he gets home and like you said, he goes, whoa, wait a sec. Well, I could see, you know, she's looking for this and I'm looking for that. And I got a little ahead of myself because I was so charmed by her, or she was so beautiful, or so enchanting, and now I gotta pull back a little bit. And also, I just think life keeps on lifing for people. We don't know, like you said, it could be a million things. He could have had a death in the family. He could have lost his job. He could have had, you know, a number of just life circumstances happen that have distracted him or taken him in another direction. And then there's also the whole thing, the rubber band thing that John Gray talks about, where sometimes a man needs to like kind of pull back a little bit and kind of think about, you know, what, where am I going? What direction do I want to go? And is this the person I want to do that with? And sometimes while he's figuring some of that stuff out, he goes quiet. And in his mind, he's not doing anything wrong because you weren't, there wasn't an agreement. There wasn't in a relation. There wasn't typically a relationship. This tends to happen earlier on. Okay, did you want to add any more before we go to the next one?
That's great.
So I want to, this one leads really nicely into another one, where women, we want closure, right? We want to know the whys. We want closure when a relationship ends or when a man does disappear. We want to know why. And it was brought up in this man panel event, and it's like, one of the men said, do you really want to know why? But let's talk about this one for a minute, Wendy. I'll let you go first.
We want to know why, because we think that if we can figure out why, then we can become the thing that we're not, that had him not pick us in the first place. And why is a booby prize. All I got on that one.
Yeah. Why is a booby prize? And also, you know, I talked to my husband about this one day. And he said, you actually have closure when he's gone. He's given you closure. It's just not the closure you want. It's like, it's not that why that we think we can reverse or change or switch to change his mind. We actually already have closure if he's gone. And I read something today that said, you know, if somebody swipes left, don't go after them. Go for somebody that's going to swipe right for you.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of relationship you want. You want someone who's going to be swiping right for you over and over and over again. I'm using an analogy here, obviously.
Well, and that's really important to know. I mean, I would put that at the very top of my criteria of what I need in a partner or the person that I want to be with if I'm dating. I want somebody who's coming at me strong, saying, you, yes, let's talk about this. Let's get to know each other. Let's, you know, coming at me consistently as a big fat yes. I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, and that's luckily that's how it turned out after 121 first dates. Lots of the 121 first dates were not running at me with the big fat yes sign. So and yeah. There were men that I passed on who, yeah, they liked me and I liked them, but they didn't show enough attraction and attention. And if we don't have enough connection and attention, we're not going to be able to be our best selves. We're going to be off balance. And I'm just unwilling to partner with someone, one, who can't give me what I need, and two, who's going to have me be off balance. Mm-hmm. No. So there was, I remember one specific guy, his name was Michael. He's from Oakland. I like to tell you these things. So he was really great. He actually had found my blog. I had a blog before I had my book. So before we ever went on our first date, he had read my dating blog with all the dates in it. And he thought that that was so cool. He really liked me. And unfortunately, because he read my blog, he had a sense that he already knew me, that we were already in not a relationship, but that we already had a thing going on, right? Because, you know, when you read a book, you have a sense of the author or at least the characters. So he thought that he had a sense of me, and he did, but he forgot to communicate that to me. So when he would disappear for a week or two in between dates, he was just off doing his thing. And finally I said to him, I said, you know, I think that we should just convert this to friends because I'm not going to be able to get the attention I need from you. And he was shocked. And I said, yeah, I actually don't think you're that into dating me. And he thought about it and he said, yeah, I think you called it. And we became friends. So, yeah. So yeah, I would not date someone who wasn't coming at me fairly strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really important piece because there's not very many experiences in life that are more miserable than feeling that insecurity or that doubt about whether someone really wants to be with you. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to be in partnership, you want someone who's all in. I mean, there's nothing sexier than somebody really being there all in for you and really seeing you as being that person that they really want to be with. And of course, you feeling the same way back is also important too. But it's just disappointing. And as you described, Wendy, it throws us off balance as women. This is where women get into patterns, unhealthy patterns like over giving, becoming sexual before they're ready, or trying to, change a guy's mind about something, or trying to twist herself into a pretzel of what she thinks he would want him to be. These are the kind of things pursuing. These are some of the kinds of things that women sometimes do in response to feeling off balance. So,
yeah. Trying to create a more intimate connection, even if it's not sex. Maybe sharing more intimate things that aren't appropriate at that time to try and develop a more intimate connection. There's all kinds of things that will backfire for us.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one that women ask about, like, and these are kind of two that I'm going to combine together. Why do men not want to talk about their feelings, or don't tend to talk about their feelings, and or why do they not talk about where the relationship is going?
Why won't they tell me where this is going? I like that question. My bings are doing weird things. Sorry, people. So the first question again, why won't they talk about their feelings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think they matter. So for women, our feelings lead us, you know, if you care about me, you're going to care about how I feel, and you can predict what I'm going to do based on how I feel about things. So Michelle, if I said, you know, I've been in the relationship business since 2002, and I'm just not called to do it anymore. Could Michelle see that I was probably moving away from this industry possibly as soon as tomorrow? Sure, based on how I feel, right? Men aren't like that. You think about your grandpa or your father or a man in your life who has done something for years and decades that he's complained about, that he didn't like. And if you ever said to him, well, you should quit doing that. You should quit being the president of the Elks Club. You should quit your job and retire now. My grandfather was a bricklayer in Salt Lake City, Utah, until his 80s. This man was on his 80-year-old knees laying brick part-time. He didn't need to do that. He totally didn't. He could have retired. But he knew that his beautiful wife, my grandmother, had a particular standard. She liked to shop at Nordstrom, and she goes for clothing. And she said, I don't need that anymore. I don't need to do that. I got plenty of clothes. But he knew what he wanted for her. He knew what he wanted to provide, and her providers for her. And he didn't care about how he felt about work, because he was going to do what was needed. Men men don't look to their feelings to see if they're going to do something, if they're not going to do something, if they're going to quit their job, if they're going to commit to marriage. They don't look to their feelings. They look at the facts. They look at what's needed. They look at the whole scenario, and then they look at their opinions about things. So facts, opinions, very boring, concrete things. And then they make decisions based on that. And feelings are completely irrelevant. I know a way to get through. Can I share a quick story about this?
Sure.
All right, thanks. So my best friend and I went to the makeup counter because we were in need of new foundation. And when I was there, you know, at the makeup counter, how they always stick the person that you're with like a little bit too far to be chit-chatty with you. So my friend was over here and I was talking one-on-one with the cutie pie 20-year-old who was applying makeup to my face. And while she was applying makeup, because she's in sales, she was asking me a kind of a poll style question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about the dryness of your face? 1, not important, 10, important, right? So I was going with her for a while and I'm like, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. Finally, she said, the size of the pores on your face, how concerned are you from 1 to 10? And I said, 1. And she's finally, she had it with me because I was giving her 1s the whole time. And she just looked at me. And I said, I know I have normal-sized big pores on my face. I also know you have a product that would probably fix that. But how concerned I am about it is a one. I'm not going to do anything about it. So it's like that. Why would you care about something that you're not going to do anything about? That you're not going to act on. You're not going to look to your feelings about it if you're never going to act on it. You're going to look at facts instead. That's what a man does.
Well, and I think once a man is in a relationship, for a lot of men, the way they express their feelings or express their love is through action. It's through what they do. It's not through them verbally saying this, these words all of the time. Although, yes, we as women often long to hear them and enjoy hearing them, and that's something that can be important. A lot of men also know their way of expressing love is through what they do, through action. And so it's not a feeling-based thing. It's like, this is what I do. This is, you know, your grandfather's on his knees in his 80s. This is what I do because this is how I show this woman that I love her.
Yes.
And I also think that for a lot of men, they're socialized and brought up in ways where they're not taught to openly express, outwardly express emotions, feelings, you know, the big boys don't cry kind of idea and that sort of thing, suck it up and everything like that. And so they're taught in many cases to suppress expressing a lot of emotion or a lot of feelings. And so one of the things that's come forward through the man panel in talking to all of these men, and I'm sure, Wendy, you've had some of these conversations too, is that when a man feels safe, emotionally safe with a woman, he oftentimes is more able to begin to express some of his feelings, some of his innermost feelings to her in the right kind of situation. But it's not something that most men wear on their sleeves.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, I was just having a conversation with Dave the other day, and he said, you know, it's really odd to know how much you know about what I think and how I feel compared to the rest of the world. Because, you know, you just think that I'm open and that I share everything all the time, that I'm emotionally intelligent, because he's very emotionally intelligent, and that, you know, he's very open and shares all the time. And he said, one, it's because you're a safe place to share, right? And he said, secondly, I do it because I know that if I want to feel intimacy and connection with you, that it's important to let you know how I feel and what I think. And mostly, I really don't want anybody else to know. Like, I don't care if the guy, you know, across the hall or wherever knows what I think. In fact, I'd rather he didn't know what I think. That's no one's business. So yeah, that intimacy, when you become the trusted source, you're going to be the space for that, the space for him to reveal himself. But the men who you've met throughout your life who are men who are in touch with their feelings, how they got that way is because they were trained by women to be in touch with their feelings. Their mother, their ex-wife, an old girlfriend. They were trained to be in touch with their feelings. And I've interviewed a lot of men about this, and all of the men have talked about it in the same way, that what they do, that be in touch with the feeling, that's actually, they just access it by thinking, what do I think about that? And sort of go into the system and locate their feelings through what they think.
Mm-hmm.
So a quicker access to get them to talk about their feelings is to ask them, what do you think about that? They're going to be able to get to them quicker.
Yeah, in fact, that's a really good point, and that's something Allison and I talked about in her opening interview, where we talked about conceal versus reveal and when a man conceals versus when he reveals information. And yes, you're absolutely right, Wendy, to ask for them, if we're asking a question instead of asking them, how do you feel about this, asking them, what do you think about this, allows them sometimes to kind of go in that opposite direction to maybe get to what they feel when they hear it as a thinking question, because sometimes it has to go through that a little different channel than it might through us, like through the head down into the heart instead of through the heart like it might be for us.
And that's so great that Allison talked about concealing, because my Dave story gave you a very perfect example of men concealing.
Exactly. Okay, so let's take the second part of this question, which is why they don't talk about where a relationship is going. I love this one too.
It's not a car on a freeway. Men are in the moment and they're looking at the whole thing and they're enjoying what they're enjoying. And they're looking to see, does this add up? Am I going to be able to get everything I need from her without having to change her? You know, we'll jump into a relationship, accept the relationship, and then get to work on what needs to get sorted out, right?
What we need to change.
They don't do that. So that takes men longer to commit because they have to sort out, can I live with all of her without changing her, including how loud she laughs and the way she dresses and all the things, right? So they don't talk about where it's going because they're in the moment. And we women who tend to be on the relationship escalator that needs to be progressing steadily uphill and with milestones all the way up. Where men aren't. They're with you, they like you, they're enjoying you. Why would you change that? What they care about is the substance, not the form that it takes. And so they're not gonna be as busy trying to work out the form as you are.
Yeah, well, this kind of is related in a way to the whole idea of closure. We want definition around a relationship. We want it to be defined. Like, it's like, are we dating? Are we exclusive? Are we engaged? Are we living together? Are we getting married? Are we, what is like happening? What is the next step? We want that definition. And one thing that I always tell women when they're especially in the early stages of a dating relationship and they're like, oh, I don't know where it's going yet. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what he's thinking kind of thing, but they're excited about it and think it has possibility, is I say, enjoy this phase because it never comes again. It's like when you're kind of in that early stage of exploring something and there's that attraction and there's that mystery, but it's still undefined. That's like such a fun, cool part of dating. Because you don't know yet. You don't know. There's that mystery, so to speak. And yet, it's like
hotter than that beginning stage.
I know. It's like that, you know, when things are like undefined, that's that really sexy, fun, cool attraction kind of phase where you're kind of going, ooh, this might have potential and it's so exciting. And like, so my advice is, if at all possible, don't rush through that stage and don't be so focused on needing definition. This is easier said than done. Don't be so focused on needing that definition about like where we are or what's happening or what the next step is that you miss out on this really delicious, fun, wonderful early stage part of dating. I mean, this is kind of the stuff that romantic movies are made of, you know? It's like that, you know, yeah, in the romantic movies, they usually get together in the 90-minute movie, but you know, it's that early stage stuff that we like love so much, that attraction and what's going to happen and is it going to work out? And so it's like, enjoy that. Even if you're a little older, even if you feel like you don't have a lot of time, there's something really delicious about that. And it also allows a relationship to develop and to grow naturally without us like pushing or forcing or controlling or manipulating. And it's just a beautiful thing. And my experience has been that relationships can progress really naturally if we're not doing all of those things, if they're the right relationship, yeah, the right combination of two people.
Absolutely. The other thing is right back where we started with, which is masculinity is accountability. So when we want to push to that next level, where is this going? And what, am I your girlfriend? Am I your fiance? Am I going to be your wife? Each of those things sound like a great upgraded title to us, but to the man, that's accountability. Each one of those things have their own set of accountability. So if he's only dating you, the only accountability he has is to produce a good date for you. If he's your boyfriend, now he needs to check up on you during the week between dates to make sure you're in good shape and that you're happy and things are going well and how was your day? More accountability. You're a fiance? Ugh, tons of accountability. Now you got to go home to Utah at Christmas time when it's snowing. Right? So, I mean, there's all these extra accountabilities that he needs to look to see. Am I ready to take that on? And if he, let's say he's trying to become partner at his firm and you're pushing for boyfriend, which is going to mean more accountability in his personal life, but he only has one or two nights to give a weekend. That's it. He doesn't have the space to be checking on you 3, 4, 5 times a week by the phone. Also, on top of the dates, he'll tell you no, and it might not have anything to do with this relationship progressing. It might not be personal. It might be his bandwidth.
Right, right. Okay, I think we're going to move on now. I love this one, Wendy. This was one you mentioned. Why don't men like smart, successful women? We hear that all the time, right? They're intimidated by me. They don't like me because I'm so smart and successful.
We're not intimidating. And they love how smart and successful and strong we are. And in fact, if you think about it from a survival standpoint, which men are always thinking about things from a survival standpoint, it would make the most sense to partner with somebody who's brilliant and can get you out of bind and live life well, right? So they count on our strength and our smarts, and they are cheerleaders for us to be amazing. And what comes with the smart, successful package can be a real turnoff, and we miss that part. So one of the things that happens is with that self-confidence, we conflate self-confidence with self-reliance. So when we start getting some facility, paying our own rent, buying our groceries, buying our clothes, getting a career upgrade, doing all these things that make us strong and successful and smart, we also start to get the attitude, yeah, I got this. I got it. I got this handled, right? And when we got it handled, we now aren't receiving anything from anybody. Now we're blocking. We're blocking what they want to give us. We're not receptive. We're not open because we got this. It's no, I'm good. I got this. I can pay for lunch. I can pay for your lunch too. I can get my own door. I got this. And let me tell you about the 15 degrees that I have, because I am badass. So now we're going to be competing. Right now, he's trying to impress you. You're trying to attract him, but you flip trying to attract him by impressing him with your accomplishments. And now he's trying to impress you and you're trying to impress him. And you got masculine, 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 masculine to turn off. So you can be as big as you are in the world and not be a turnoff, and talk about all your accomplishments and your degrees and all the things, if you do it from a place of passion instead of competition. If you talk about why you got into the career you're in by telling an adorable story about when you were 19 and you thought the thing, and right, that passionate story about why, much sexier than I have this degree and I have that degree and I'm going to be in this position next year. All right, good for you. I have nothing to contribute to your life because you got this. So it's the, I can handle it. I got it all. I'm not receiving. And I'm also going to try and compete with you by impressing you with all my accomplishments. Those are the two areas that are a real turnoff. And we can turn that around without dumbing ourselves down. You know, one of the questions we hear a lot is, do I have to dumb myself down? No. Do I have to make myself small? No. Be as huge as you are. And be passionate about it and be open and receptive to what they have to provide. Because if they can't provide, they're out.
Yeah, a man needs to feel like he can make a difference in your life, that he has a place in your life where he can contribute and where he can make a difference and where he can offer something that will be of value to you, where he can feel like he makes a you know, him being in your life is something that adds something to what you already have and what you already are. And I think I may have shared this story a couple of years ago, Wendy, on our event, but before my husband and I met, he dated this amazing woman. And she was exactly like what you described. I mean, this woman would send out like holiday letters that would be like, in December, I opened a school for the blind. In January, I ran a marathon. In February, I, you know, added a wing to the library. I mean, it was like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, just reading the letter made me exhausted. I'm like, oh my goodness, who can keep up with this woman? And she really was that accomplished and talented and smart and, you know, degreed up to here. And so my husband had dated her shortly before he and I had dated. And I didn't know her well personally, but I knew enough people that knew her and knew like what she was up to, that I was like, kind of like thinking, oh, wow, you know, I think I'm pretty neat, but I don't know that I'm like all of that.
A lot of competition right there.
Huh?
A lot of competition.
Exactly. So I, you know, when things started working with my husband and I, you know, when I could feel that things were going in a really nice direction and we were really getting along well and enjoying our time together, one day I said, you know, what's the deal with this woman you dated previously? I mean, she seemed so incredible and so amazing. And I'm just curious what happened and why you're not still dating her. And he said to me, he said, you're right. She is incredible. She is amazing. Probably the most impressive woman I've ever known. He said, but I couldn't see where I really fit in her life. I couldn't really see where I could make any sort of difference. He basically said she didn't need me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she meant to give off that vibe. I suspect she may not have, but that was what he was left with. He didn't really see where he could make a difference or be a part of her life that would be really meaningful and where he would really be acknowledged and appreciated, because she did have that, I got it. And boy, did she have it. She had it. She had the tiger by the tail.
Yeah.
So another thing I want to mention about this, because not everybody listening will consider themselves to be super successful in terms of like a career or in terms of their educational status or that sort of thing. And the good news is you don't have to be all that. You don't have to have all those number letters behind your name or all those numbers in your salary or all of these accomplishments in terms of your career. The right kind of man for you is going to see your beauty and magnificence. And no matter where you feel like you're at on the success scale in terms of the world's view of that, the right kind of man is going to appreciate you for appreciating him, for allowing him to make a difference in your life. And he's going to appreciate your beautiful feminine softness, your gifts, your receptivity, and the safe place that you can be for him. And I just wanted to mention that because we do hear this question a lot, you know, am I intimidating because I'm this, that, or the other? But not everybody considers themselves in that category. And I just think it's important to mention that.
Yeah, and there's some really good news for women about that, which is it's us that cares about status more than a man cares about status. He's looking at us for other things. He's not looking at us for, are we killing it in our career? That's a woman thing. So what he will look for is she going to be a total drain and bring nothing to the relationship? He'll look for that. But even if you are currently out of work and you're doing, you know, you're trying your best and you're doing what you're doing and you're in between right now, it doesn't mean that you can't be dating because you don't have anything to offer. You just want to state your case up front and let him know where you've been and what you're up to. In other words, communicating that you're not going to be that drain, that you're not looking to just take. And that's all they care about for the most part.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up too. When my husband and I first met and started dating, we'd only gone out a couple of times. And the company that I worked for at the time, I was working in corporate America at the time, was acquired by a company in the UK. And so suddenly they like laid off the entire U.S. Employees, the entire base of the U.S. employees. And it happened like right before Christmas, all of a sudden, no warning whatsoever. And so,
Oh no.
I know. So here I was, I'd only been on a couple days with my husband and I loved this career and I had been doing really well in it. And all of a sudden, this part of my identity was suddenly gone. And I'm in this brand new dating relationship. We've only been on a couple of dates and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of a little awkward and a little weird. But, you know, my husband could see who I was and who I was. He wasn't my husband at the time, but he could see how I was handling it. And I can remember him saying at one point, he said, it's really good for me to see you in this situation, for me to see how you're handling this and how you're navigating this. And so I let him know that, you know, I was concerned and that it was awkward and that I was a little afraid and I didn't quite know what was come next. But I also was... He could also see that I was, you know, I was handling it. I was coping and I was moving forward with my life. I was going to figure it out. And it wasn't going to be like I was just going to land on his doorstep and say, take me in.
Yeah, and you highlighted really beautifully something that is different between men and women. And that is women are really uncomfortable and or want to hide the problem. That if we're dealing with something that's uncomfortable or embarrassing or could put us in a bad light, we want to hide the problem until we can get it all fixed or eradicated or whatever we need to do so he doesn't have to deal with it. Men are master problem solvers. And they're like, ooh, we're going to find out how she solves this problem. This is awesome, right? Or let me see if I can give her a tip to solve this problem. Or if it's between us, let's see how we solve this problem together. That's when the juice happens for them. That's good news. So for the most part, women are often trying to hide a problem. Men are dying to know what the problems are going to be and how we're going to work through them together to see if we can be a good team. And that can be where things fall apart in the dating and mating world. She's trying to hide potential problems and concerns she has. And he's looking at her like, God, I really want to get to know you and see if this can go somewhere, but I need to know what you need and what the problem might be. And I got to see the whole picture here. See if this all adds up. It'd be a mismatch.
Yeah, that's a good point. Back in that day, of course, I didn't know about authenticity or vulnerability or these wonderful things we talk about now. But in retrospect, I was showing authenticity and vulnerability about that situation. And it did actually allow my husband to be supportive and to cheer me on. And to, you know, he was engaged and interested when I was going on other interviews or what other things I was looking at or what I was doing during the day. And so it actually created, interestingly enough, kind of an opening that may not have actually been there in quite the same way had I been so engaged in that career and that job that I suddenly out of the blue didn't have anymore.
Yep.
So kind of interesting. Okay. I'm looking at our time, Wendy, and I'm thinking we should probably pivot here for a second. I'm going to share just a little bit about the VIP package because like I told you at the beginning of the call, we're going to send out the replay after this is over tonight. It'll be available for a little while, for a few hours, and then the VIP package will go up by $100. And so this is a really good opportunity if you're still thinking about it to jump in and get it. And we'll just take a minute on this and then Wendy and I are going to take some Q&A. So if you're listening or watching online, you may be able to just scroll down on the page that you're watching from and get all of the details about the VIP. If you're on the phone, if you're calling in or you need to go take a look at it online, you can go to themanpanel.com/VIP. And I'm just going to do a quick overview of what's included and just give you a quick reminder about that. And I do want to also let you know, for those of you that have already purchased it, we will be sending out the full set of downloads basically toward the end of this week. We don't send out the full set of downloads until we're all done because like tonight's event, we're recording live. and we want to have everything to send to you all at once. However, when you sign up, you will get a link to the bonuses and also a link to schedule a session with me. I've already started doing the sessions and I've opened up some more. So if you had a hard time finding one, there's a whole bunch of new ones open. It just may be a week or two down the road. Okay, so of course the package includes all of the audio and video downloads. You have ongoing, unlimited access for as long as you want. I don't like to say lifetime access because, you know, you or I could not be here, but we're not taking it down. It's available for as long as you want it. And so you have the audio and video downloads of the entire event from beginning to end, including the live events and all of the interviews with the men. Then you also have the sexy double six pack of top 12 interviews from past man panels. These are like listener favorites. So in addition to this events interviews, you get, it's actually 13, I did a baker's dozen, you get 13 interviews from past man panels. And then we get to connect further, which I really love. I'll be teaching live a three-part masterclass called Meet Your Match, which is designed to help you increase your opportunities to meet more high-quality men. So for those of you who are looking to meet someone or date or find out where you can and how you can meet men, this is a great class, and it'll be fun to connect with you live. And then we're also going to be doing another class that I'm going to be teaching live that's called Fuel Your Feminine Fire. So this kind of goes along with some of the things we've been talking about tonight. The tagline is be fully seen and treated like a queen. But this is how to be that amazing woman in the world. If you feel like you don't have that spark, to just kind of know how to get your spark back so that you can interact with men in a way that kind of brings out the best in them and also helps you to get your needs met. And then you will also get a private one-on-one coaching session with me. And I don't do these very often. I actually haven't offered them other than outside of my live events like this for a very long time. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk about what's going on with you in terms of your love life, kind of like where you're at, where you've been, where you'd like to be in terms of your love life, anything that could be slowing you down, and we can talk about your path forward. And then I also do have a surprise bonus. This is actually another pre-recorded class, and it's on how to bring out the best in men. It's something that my husband and I did together, and it's been kind of a favorite in my audience. So that is a surprise bonus that you'll get. So be sure to check out the Man Panel VIP package while it's still available at the event special. Because it will be going up very soon, and we don't want you to miss out if that's something you're interested in. So I'm going to stop sharing slides here because Wendy and I are going to now take some of your questions. Okay, Wendy, you ready, girl?
Totally ready. Throw them at me.
All right, let's see. This one is kind of similar to some that we've talked about. This is from Dorian. She says, why do men sometimes leave you feeling like you've gotten mixed messages, come close, go away, to the point that it can leave a woman to doubt her own intuition?
Yeah, the push-pull thing, Michelle talked about that for a minute, about what John Gray had to say about that. And that was really the best answer I could think of because I never understood it. It drove me nuts personally. I didn't date people who did that. And I ended up marrying the person who, from very first date, said, I like you. Before we leave this first date, can we have a second date? You're going to Mexico. Why don't I call you when you get back? And then he called me while I was in Mexico, even though he knew, to say, hey, I know you're there, but I really want to date you, and never wavered. That guy, really hard to find. I don't know. Do you have more, Michelle?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think oftentimes if we have to ask a lot of questions, we already kind of have the answer. We just don't necessarily want to accept the answer. So what I mean by that is if a man's giving you mixed messages, in many cases, it's more that we're looking for things to kind of hang on to or latch on to that give us hope. Yes. Like he called or he did this or he did that. And some men are really good at just giving you just enough attention to just kind of keep you hanging in there and thinking there's hope. Yep. But again, if you're feeling starved, you know, I always tell women, you deserve to be seated at the full banquet feast of love. If you are feeling starved for attention, starved for clarity about like where this man is coming from in terms of whether he likes you or not, oftentimes we already have our answers. And so our intuition is probably right. Mm-hmm. What our inner guide is probably telling us is probably right. But we try to outthink our intuition by saying, oh, but wait, there's this one little thing that he did or this one little thing that he said, because we as women can latch on to those and that can be just enough to kind of keep us hanging on and hanging on. So I believe in most cases our intuition is spot on and the messages are not necessarily always as mixed as we might interpret them to be. If a man is interested, if a man is wanting to be with you, most of the time you're going to know it. Just saying.
Yeah, and it's really hard when you're out there dating because you naturally will have a scarcity mentality, especially if you're only dating one person at a time. If he's not the one, then you have zero. And so instinct might even encourage you to think that it's a much bigger opportunity of a loss if you walk away from this one. And it's just, there is no scarcity out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So hopefully that helped a little bit on that one. Okay. Let's see. Zizi says, can you expand on the rubber band thing that men seem to do? Yeah. So, I believe that's a John Gray thing. I think that originates with John Gray. So if you think of a rubber band, if you stretch it out, it can stretch out and then it can contract. And sometimes in the course of dating or getting to know a woman, a man might like come in closer and then he might like retract. He might pull back like a rubber band. It might stretch out to be with you. He might retract. And sometimes that's, John Gray also calls it like he might go into his man cave where he might like kind of disappear for a little while. And I think the other night when I was speaking, I was telling you, I think sometimes men don't think of it as disappearing. They don't even like maybe even realize they've disappeared. They're just doing their thing. They're just like navigating and figuring out, like we talked about, what the responsibility might be if he moves forward. He might be getting in touch or sorting out other situations in his life, touch with or sorting out other situations in his life. And so he might need some time to kind of pull back within himself. And John Gray calls it the man cave, or also calls it this rubber band syndrome, where he might kind of contract for a while. And that allows him to have a time to sort that out. And John Gray also says, when he's in that mode, we don't want to go chasing after him. I mean, yes, we might feel like we want to, but it's not the thing to do because that doesn't allow him the time or space to sort whatever it is he's sorting out. And so this is the time for us to go out there and joyfully live our lives and see what that man does, see what happens in time, because time provides a lot of clarity if we give things a little time.
And I highly recommend that while you're waiting, that you are dating more than one person at a time. So you are not picking from a pool of one. Mm-hmm.
Well, it can help us to not become so anxious, waiting, focused, overly focused, hyper-focused on that guy. Okay, let's see.
Well, there's some good ones here. This is one that we're asked often, and Wendy, we can both give our opinion on this one. Which dating sites do you recommend for women over 50?
I would rather talk about the two that I don't recommend. I don't recommend Bumble and I don't recommend eHarmony. And outside of that, all the big ones are the same. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan, depending on where you live and how big your town is. If you're in a small area, I would recommend going with the really big sites, the Tinder, the Match, the OkCupid. When we look at little specialty sites, what's going to happen is your pool is just going to be limited. So you want to have the biggest pool possible to find the right person for you. And men are joining these sites all the time. They're pretty much all the same. The algorithms are the same. It's all the same.
Tell me why you don't like Bumble.
I don't like Bumble. Well, because partly it's originally they put too many fake profiles on, and all the companies do it, but Bumble did it for a really long time. So a lot of them aren't real. And the other thing I noticed is if you want someone who is strong and sure of himself and will take charge and lead in a relationship, if you want that guy, if he's on Bumble, he's only on Bumble because it's one that he's on the other ones also. It's like an extra one. But a man who knows who he is, knows what he wants, and is going to go get it is not going to join the site that will not let him reach out to a woman, that he has to now kick back and wait for her to come to him.
Right.
The guy who joins that site is the guy who says, and nothing else, is the guy who says, yeah, finally, let her do all the work.
Which is what most women don't want to do. Yeah, and I've also not had good luck with eHarmony with my clients. I don't know what it is about their algorithms, because supposedly with their bazillion questions, they're supposed to have this magic formula, but I've not had people have good luck. And I usually recommend that my clients, many of whom are over 50, join one of the major sites like Match. Our time can be good, you know, specifically for over 50. Because again, like Wendy said, you're going to have more choice. You're not going to run out of people to search for and to connect with after 2 weeks or 1 week. Some of these really small boutique sites, there's hardly anybody on them if you're not in a major, major city, a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, and many of the women who are over 50 have that concern about being over 50 and having to compete with the 25-year-old and whatnot, and that we think that men don't want us at over 50, but it's just not true. I'm over 50 and I didn't have a problem dating men. I wasn't quite at 50 when I was dating, but didn't have any problem finding men. And tons of my clients have found their husbands and partners who are in their 50s or 60s and their 70s, who got met up through the OkCupids, the Matches, the Tinders of the world even, for marriage. So it's just not true. That's a fear that we have. There are plenty, plenty, plenty of men who want to date you over 50, and you don't have to be on the over 50 sites to get to those men.
Yeah,
I would understand why it would make you feel safer to be on those sites, but I wouldn't just stick to the one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with the big one like a Match. Yep.
Well, this brings me to something else I just want to add as an afterthought to this question, which is a lot of times, because you and I, Wendy, we both work with a lot of women in their 50s, 60s, and beyond, and a lot of times women will ask me, well, what do you think about putting a lower age than I actually am online? I'm not a believer in that, and I've heard a lot of other coaches out there say it's okay to do that and then put something in your profile that says, oh, I'm really such and such an age. But I feel like, first of all, you should be really proud of who you are, what you've accomplished, how much you've survived in life, at whatever stage you're at. And like, if you are proud of who you are, you can be attractive. And you can attract men at no matter what age you are. And if a man your age, a contemporary of yours, is looking for a woman 20 years younger, you're not going to be his woman anyway, and he's not going to be your man. So you're not competing with these younger women. And I also just think it's a good way to start out a potential relationship on a false premise. It's kind of a
a gotcha. You know, I got your attention by putting my age 5 or 10 years younger, and I'm really not. Another thing that I find, Wendy, is most of us, many of us, I don't know how many clients I've had say to me over the years, I look so much younger than I am. I'm 60 something, but I'm, you know, everybody thinks I'm 50. Well, the truth is we see ourselves every day in the mirror. We don't always see the visible effects of our aging. We might see it when we go to that high school reunion, you know, that 20, 30, whatever high school reunion. We don't always see ourselves and the aging process quite as well as other people might. I'm just being really honest. You may not want to hear this.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Those people are so much older than I am, the people I went to high school with.
I know.
I mean, I look at least 20 years younger than those people, right? Right?
Uh-huh.
I liked one man. What he said was, he said, let me get this straight. What you're looking for is a relationship filled with integrity. You want somebody who's honest and open and has integrity to build a life with. But you want to start that out with a lie.
Exactly.
What? No. And no, don't putting it in the first paragraph. I said the thing, so it bumped me to the category so you would see me. No, what that tells men is I'm afraid that I'm not going to get my way if I tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spin it. Don't you want to come be in a relationship with me now, knowing full well right out the gate that when I get afraid that I'm not going to get my way, I'm going to lie about it, or I'm going to flip it or spin it? That's a very telling sign to men.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So hopefully that answers that one. Now, Wendy, in our time that we have left, I want to ask you a question that you and I talked very briefly about before we started, and that's about some of this new work that you've been doing that also relates to men and the kinds of men that are out there, the alpha, the beta, and the independent. I want to see if you can share some insights on this that could be valuable for the ladies before we start to wrap up.
Yeah, thanks. So I get a lot of questions and comments and hopes for understanding what an alpha man is and what, you know, I want an alpha man, and I want to know how to attract an alpha man, and I want to know all the things about alpha men, right? How do I get an alpha man? I happen to have an alpha man. And so I started doing a little research on a little audio product, right? And it was going to be all about the alpha man. And then I started to really dig in, like I do in my research. Someone told me that I'm a pedestrian scientist. No, pedestrian is the wrong word. Anyway, I'm a person scientist. I'm a people scientist. I'm out there science experimenting things out and questioning and asking men and throwing questions out. And what I found right off the bat was how much I love my beta men. And I was like, and I said to my very favorite beta man, I said, you know, I really hate that term. I just want to call you a non-alpha, right? Because beta sounds like secondary. You're not chopped liver. What you bring to the table is awesome. And he said, no, we like beta. We're the beta. I said, okay. So what I want to share with you is a little bit about what I've learned about the alpha man, the beta man, and the independent. And so you can see what one do you really want? Because a lot of women say they want an alpha man. But what they really want is they want that leader, that killing it at the office, that CEO-driven alpha guy at work. And we want him to come home and shift to compliant, empathetic listener who will do everything I say. That's a beta man. Mm-hmm. And then we can be really attracted to the independent, the sexy, charming, not available for a relationship independent man. So it can be a little tricky when we think we know what we want and we're actually looking at three different men entirely. So very briefly, when I'm asked what is an alpha man, and I've done a lot of research with men, both alpha and beta and independent, that what I have found is the number one characteristic is leader. So your alpha is a leader, and if you're in a relationship with an alpha as a leader will bend that relationship to his will. do you want that? Can you be bent? Are you that accommodating? Can you do it? Where a beta will pick somebody and he will accommodate and adapt to the relationship. So it's almost the opposite. He's going to be, the word that you would use for a beta isn't leader. It's good helper. So if you want a good helper, if you want a collaborator, if you want an equal partnership where you bring a lot to the table and he is there to support you in a way that there's lots of discussion and good dad material and all, that's your beta. That's your beta. And then there's a whole other group of men, which are the independents. And they're not bad men. They're great men. They're charming. They're the life of the party. They aren't interested in relationships. And if they get into relationships, they'll lean really heavy on her to do a lot of the heavy lifting in the relationship. Y'all know that guy, right? You've dated that guy. So that's kind of what I wanted to share about what to look for in the alpha and the beta and independent. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer those too.
Well, so Wendy, a couple of follow-up questions. I think most women think they want the alpha male, right?
Yes.
And the way you're describing it, maybe not every woman really does want the alpha male. And I always tell women, you know, you have to recognize with every strong quality or characteristic, there's a flip side. And so if you get that guy, that leader, that guy that's out there just making it happen in his career and is just, you know, so accomplished and so successful, there may be a downside to that that looks something like he might not have as much time to spend with you as you want him to. He might not be able to take long vacations with you if you want him to. I mean, there's like, he might have a very driven personality where he's not able to relax and just be in the moment and laugh and have fun with you in the same way. I mean, there are flip sides to these kinds of qualities, these really strong personality characteristics and qualities. And so it is really something to think about. So most women, though, if you ask them, they're not going to say, I want a beta male, right?
Right. And betas are so great. They're good helpers. They're the collaborators. They're the ones that are going to say, what do you think? And they're going to be full of opinions. They're so opinionated. Sometimes they're even judgy. The flavor can be judgy. But they're so engaging and exciting and enlivening that they want to know, they want to collaborate, they want to help. And one of the things that we tend to think of is an alpha is going to have a high sex drive, but sex drive doesn't have anything to do with alpha or beta. I know plenty of beta guys that have really high sex drives and alpha men who don't. So that those two things, they're not connected.
Mm-hmm. And so explain to us the independent one more time. I'm not really super clear on the independent yet.
The independent is the party guy. He's the one who is the lone wolf. He's not really looking for a relationship. He does really great in long distance relationships. Or if he does get into a relationship, he'll probably lean on her pretty hard to do the relationshipping for both of them. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a partner, independent is not partner. Independent is separate from partnership. They're not the same. Now, to make it even more exciting, if an independent meets somebody that completely rocks his world in an entirely different way, he will shift from independent. Not all of them do, but he will shift from independent and he will become beta or alpha based on his personality. But that's more of a, I wouldn't put my paycheck on that.
Yeah.
If I were dating, I wouldn't roll the dice on that one.
So what are a couple of things we look for in, besides the obvious, you know, maybe you can tell he's really super driven or really super into his career or whatever, but what are a couple of the other things we might look for?
How much accountability, so accountability is a big one. My beta was telling me that the beta that I talk to all the time, he's a dad. So that's another thing beta and alpha, they can be a little bit fluid. You know, the alpha, he might be an alpha, but if he's in the room with the president of the United States and 10 of the most important men in the on the planet, is he still the alpha in the room? Well, yes and no. He's still an alpha, but he's not the alpha in the room, right? Who's the smartest guy in the room? Who has the most status, right? So alpha can be a little bit fluid. Beta can be fluid. My friend who is my favorite beta, he's a dad to his six-year-old. There's no question who's the alpha. I mean, the difference is the alpha as a leader will say, okay, team, this is what we're doing. We're going to do this. I'll take a little bit of feedback, but mostly I got this. We're doing this. Here's the plan. This is now the 15-minute window to give me input. Then that window is closed. This is what we're doing. Where a beta, even in an alpha role like dad, will come to it from a more collaborative place than a director place, right? Mm-hmm. That leader's gonna direct the show, where my beta will talk to his little girl, and instead of telling her how it's gonna go, he'll say, well, let's talk about it. Let's collaborate on it. What do you think? And he might adapt the plan based on what will make her happy. Oh my God, maybe you wanna date a guy who will change a plan to make you happy. Wouldn't that be great? That's often a beta man. Now, mm-hmm. alpha men will do that too if they also have the flavor of benevolent, but not all alphas are benevolent.
Right, right.
So many different flavors of alpha, beta.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's kind of fun stuff to think about and to explore. And I think a really key part of this is to remember that with every quality or characteristic that is really pronounced in a man that you think you want, you have to also consider what the flip side of that might be. I just think that's really important to keep in mind, because when you're with a man, he is as he is. You don't get to change him or try to turn him into something else. That's a recipe for unhappiness and disaster. And so, Wendy, we're going to post the replay, and it's going to be on replay, and we're going to post your free gift link. And I want you to tell us about your free gift, too.
Yes, thank you for asking. So the free gift is a 30-day by email love challenge. My 30-day challenge, love breakthrough. And, you know, I know that you're super busy. The last thing you need is a 20-minute journaling exercise or jumping through hoops or anything big to take on and put on your plate on top of your already big life. So I designed this to literally take no more than 5 minutes a day. So every morning, somewhere around 4 to 7 a.m., depending on if you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, you'll get an email from me, and it'll give you a little challenge for the day. And it's just going to take under 5 minutes to either do a meditation or do a very quick journal or do one of my double dog dares, the challenge, right? But what's so great about this is I've really put a lot of thought into each day in the 30 days to craft the question or the prompt. So it actually moves you forward. It makes you more certain about what it is you want, what it is you don't want, and what are some of the blocks that are in your way that you don't even know about. So 5 minutes a day, take it on. You're welcome.
Woo-hoo. 5 minutes a day. So ladies, to get this, just make sure you visit the replay page and make sure you get Wendy's free gift, because then you'll be able to start getting this 30-day love, what do we call it? Love breakthrough?
Love breakthrough.
Love breakthrough. You'll start breaking through in the next 30 days. And I really want to thank Wendy for being here with us. She's always so generous with her knowledge, and she's a fountain of wisdom. And so I know you're going to want to stay in contact with her and get her goodies. And I want to send you love, Wendy, and I want like everybody that's here or listening to be like sending you the love vibes, because we really appreciate you and your generosity today and like throughout the years. This has been a really fun tradition and as part of the Man Panel.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I'm always delighted that you're willing to have me back. But so thank you so much. It's always a real pleasure to play with you, and to be with somebody at such a high caliber doing this work is always a treat. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate that compliment. And ladies, be sure to check out the VIP package. Kyle will put the link one more time in the chat box. It should also be on the page, or you can go to themanpanel.com/VIP. So get it now before the price goes up. You're going to be glad you have it. And we are just really grateful that you have joined us tonight. And I'm really grateful that you've been a part of the Man Panel. As you can imagine, it's quite a lot of time and energy to put something like this together. And what makes it worth it is the feedback that I get and knowing that it's making a difference for you. And my intention is to serve the audience really deeply and to provide something for you that can really be helpful and valuable for you. And it's my hope that it has been. And we're so grateful you joined us for the Man Panel. So thank you so much. So Kyle and Wendy and I are going to sign off for now. And we're so grateful that you joined us.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.